Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Wait for it. This is the only way I could do it. Sorry.
Good radio. I don't know what we're waiting for.
Hold on. Only 10 more seconds. Everybody
Rock,
just wanted
to say, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
No, he's probably off on his boat and doesn't really care.
Yeah,
you know, and
let's see. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's the only way I could find.
Fine, now we owe those two sisters a dollar or whatever. That's exactly right. Well done, Dave Enright.
Scrambling in the last minute, trying to find, you know, a version of that.
We are 2 days into our 26th year on the job.
I'd say longer than my first marriage.
Some days jobbier than others. That's right. You've been doing this show longer than I've had a child.
Yes, that's true. I still remember when Amelia was born.
You? I certainly remember it.
Yeah, but it just does, you know, I've just seen her grow up, and then it's all of a sudden like, wait a minute.
What do you mean she graduated college?
Yeah,
she
where the heck
old?
Did that time go? No, Nick. You just had
that,
her.
I can't be that old.
Yeah.
More than that, she's in graduate school.
Yeah.
She's in.
You are old.
I'm old. We had a really nice conversation the other day. She called me up to, she's a teaching assistant, so she called up to moan about the some of the students that she have, and I regaled her with some of the stories of my days teaching, and yeah. All right, to the news. Apple is looking to move into the original programming business to compete with video streaming companies such as Netflix. Apple, who aims to begin offering the service next year, has held preliminary talks with executives from Hollywood in recent weeks to gauge their interest in spearheading efforts to produce entertainment content. Apple's goal is to create development and production divisions that would churn out long-form content for online streaming. Apple is looking to start hiring for the planned division in the coming months. It's not clear whether the focus would be on TV series, movies, or both. Bloomberg reported in August that the company would delay its live TV service to at least next year. It had planned to introduce the service delivered over the internet this year. Apple also seems suddenly all too interested in gaming. On Thursday, Apple created a Twitter account named @AppStoreGames, wherein it showcases some of the best games available on its App Store. Good name, then. The company plans to use this Twitter feed to feature interesting game titles and talented game developers. Moving forward, it also plans to tweet sneak previews of games and share tips and tricks. The account is run by App Store editors. The account signals company's growing interest in gaming and further cements the rumors that suggest that Apple plans to launch the next generation Apple TV with gaming-focused features at the event. Multiple reports suggest that Apple plans to finally refresh its set-top box and launch it alongside the anticipated iPhone 6S and iPhone 6S Plus. The next Apple TV is reportedly getting a major hardware boost, an improved remote with Siri button, motion sensors, an Apple A8 chip, and bring support for Bluetooth game controllers. The company is said to pitch its new device as both a media streamer and set-top box, as well as a casual gaming console. It is expected to come in two storage variants, 8 gigabytes priced at $150 and 16 gigabytes priced at $200. So our poll of the week, you know what? I forgot to do the whole opening. Our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is, are you hot for Apple TV? And the choices are, I can't wait. I can wait. We'll see once it comes up. I prefer my current setup. Thanks. And I'll stick with my Three's Company VHS box set. And so far...
Come and knock on our door.
There you go. We have 34 votes so far. Obviously, I prefer my current setup. Thanks is number one. But, of course, number two is I'll stick with my Three's Company VHS box set. And, of course, I know you'll have more to say about this. So if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. And if you click on the second set of forums that say poll, the poll discussion, you will have a bunch of discussions about the various polls. And the top one is 5Sept15, hot for the Apple TV. And we've already got three people with five posts so far. So feel free to join in the fun there. And then, of course, you can also join in the fun by giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Should I post the link to the Three's Company Complete Series box set?
No. No. Thank you. Oh, like our listeners would need that link.
Someone too young to know what Three's Company was.
Yeah.
But did you ever watch Robin's Nest? The original British show it was based on.
No, I did not.
I saw that. PBS
I saw
ran
one
that.
Or two. I didn't see the series.
Yeah.
And Jack, the kid who played Jack, John Ritter, what a talent.
Yeah.
What a talent. Just his comic timing. Phenomenal. We lost a good one there. That's too bad.
His son is doing a lot now, though.
Yeah. I used to like his dad, too.
Followed in his actor's footsteps.
Yeah. Well, it's third generation.
Yep.
Tex Ritter to John Ritter to whatever his son's name is, and I don't know. I do know, ooh. I mean.
There is a VHS box set on eBay.
That's what I'm saying. VHS box set.
That's only 16 episodes. You can currently buy the DVD box set on Amazon.
Well, and that's, you know, far too new technology for most of our listeners.
Yeah.
DV what now?
Yeah.
Yeah. all right. But yeah, this Apple TV thing, it's going to be, you know, it's a crowded field right now.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a Roku, you can get just 100 different boxes. I personally have the Nexus Player, which is phenomenal. It does games. It does all the stuff you would expect it to do. It does have the Google Now voice button, and it's all very cool.
What's kind of ironic in the Apple world is that the original Apple TV had a hard drive in it. It was a 40-gig hard drive, later 160 gigs, where you could store all your stuff. And you didn't have to stream it on the low-speed bandwidth we had back then. And then they came out with the new little black hockey puck Apple TV. No storage at all, because you stream everything.
Right.
And now they're going back to adding storage.
Right.
Because it...
But not a lot.
The rumors are it will also be a DVR.
Right.
Because the problem now with on-demand and network streaming shows is you sometimes have to wait a week or more... You know, some shows are a month or more before you can stream that episode that you missed last night. So we want DVR functionality, and we also want, you know, streaming functionality.
So I watched this series called Dark Matter, and I missed the season finale. And for some reason, it did not properly record.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to look at on demand, and on every other week, the last episode is right there the next day.
Yeah.
This time... I went to see episode 1.13, which is the final episode, and it was 1.11. And I went to look at 1.11, it was 1.10. And I went all the way back, and somewhere it caught up, but there's nothing after 1.11. So I called my cable provider and told them that. For some reason, they sent someone to my house.
to swap out your box.
Yes.
And lose all the recorded shows you have.
They can fix that. They can save them. There's a code they can enter that will save all of your settings. Not the shows you've recorded.
But the settings.
But the settings for what shows you want to record. So if you're recording 40 shows over the year, and that's not unusual, by the way, it'll save that and put it back on your box again. So they sent the guy over, and it's the same guy who's come 40 other times because I've been having
other issues.
Yeah, lots and lots and lots of them. So they sent this guy, comes in, and we were like, we're pals now. He says, what's going on now? I said, I'm apologizing that you came. Here's my story. I don't know why they sent you. And he said, what's your problem? And I told him, and he said, why did they think that was in your box? Thank you. That's what I've been telling them on the phone. It's not in my...
So they just want to get you off the phone and get the problem resolved. It's exactly. a round turnaround.
Exactly. And so the poor guy...
Then they can charge you for a service call.
Right. They don't charge.
Yeah.
But I will say this. As he was leaving, he was dialing up his supervisor and screaming in the phone as he was leaving.
Well, I think I've got to get a new box because I was pressing my, the on-demand button on the controller.
Yeah.
And it just goes to one channel.
Yeah, that's all it goes to is 1,000.
And there's nothing there. It's an actual program. And no, right. Matter of fact, it's $8.99.
Oh, mine goes to 1,000.
Some stuff is on...
It's a program. There's no way I can select other, on-demand...
No, it's taking you to the wrong channel. Yeah, 1,000 is primetime on-demand, and 1,001 is entertainment on-demand, which is the odd networks.
No, 1,000 is something weird, and 1,001 is entertainment, and 1,000 primetime, and 1,002 is entertainment.
Oh, is that how it was?
Yeah. But yes, it only brings you to one. Mine brings me to 1,000.
Yeah, mine goes to $8.99, and no matter if I hit that button, on-demand button.
That's all it goes
that's
to.
That's the pay on-demand, pay movie on-demand,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that's where you're going. That's what they,
now,
they
I am,
always lead you to.
I am anxiously awaiting the new enhanced DVR box to make it to Rochester. They've been showing the ads, but I don't think it's here yet. It can record 6 channels, and it's got a 2-terabyte hard drive in it.
Yeah, but it also costs more.
Yeah, it costs $3 or $4 more per month.
Yeah. All right, listen, we should probably get to the phones because Tom from Brockport has been patiently waiting while we just mumble to each other. Hiya, Tom, what's up? Tom?
Hey there.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, first of all, the enhanced DVR has come to Rochester. It is currently in my home. I just have not hooked it up yet.
I keep asking them for it, and they say I can't get it. I'm in Fairport. Maybe that's the problem.
It depends on what part of Rochester's market you're in.
Right.
Like what time office you go to.
Yeah. Right.
If you go to the Brockport office, they have them.
I'll have to try a different office. I usually go to East Rochester.
Oh, yeah. If you go to the west side, if you go to the Brockport... I got him.
Cool. Thank you.
I am currently in possession of one. So, in any case, I haven't switched them over yet because I have whole home DVR and I want to weed down, I really want to watch and what I don't want to watch and all that stuff. And
right.
In any case, my question was about my current computer. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with my... My MacBook debacle, but right now I'm working off of a ThinkPad R51. It's got 2 gigs of memory, so I can run Windows 7 Home Premium, and it's working pretty well. The only problem I'm having is with the sound. And it says the sound card is working properly, nothing comes out. So I went through like the Lenovo utilities because this was right around the time that IBM switched over to Lenovo for ThinkPad, or rather ThinkPad switched over to Lenovo, it upgraded the BIOS for me, and I thought, hey, why not upgrade the BIOS? And now the sound card doesn't even show up, and I can't roll back the BIOS.
Do you know what brand sound card it is? Brand and model?
Yep, SoundMax.
You may have to go to their website to find a... updated driver.
Yeah, it's a company called... This is a ThinkPad R51, you said?
Correct. Type 28 PDA.
Yeah, that's from a company called 3Volve. And you can find it at 3Volve.org. But we'll have Steve post the link to the file.
My other question was, would it make sense just to get one of those USB headsets that has, like, the sound... controller in it.
What, and you mean the ones that plug into the USB?
Yeah.
Well, that would certainly be a second option. It you know, try the free thing first, right? Try downloading the correct driver.
Right.
And if that doesn't do it, then you can certainly go the other way. But I would try this first because it's free.
Exactly. All right, great. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Well, thank you.
All right, have a good weekend.
Have fun. Enjoy
Labor Day.
Yeah, have a great Labor Day, too. It's a... hold on a second, I'm doing
post that
something
in the
for
chat.
Steve.
Yeah, it's too long. I don't have the URL. What was your search query?
Hold on. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 21 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We had a couple people on the line who disappeared. We don't know quite what happened. Please call back.
Yeah.
We're happy to chat with you.
When I think some folks think I'm rude, but I'm sorry. When I'm trying to run the board, be part of this conversation, and we got somebody already on the line, the most I'm going to say to them is, Soundbites, please hold.
Yeah.
I do not get into lengthy conversations until I'm going to put
you on the air. Once we hit a commercial break, break,
yeah.
we can talk to people, but not until then. We just can't do it.
Yeah.
We don't have the luxury of extra people who are doing nothing.
Yeah, and it's
calls.
Not like you guys are in a separate studio that I can sit there, oh, yeah, you don't want to carry on a conversation, yada, yada, yada. Can't do
it. This is your... member-supported jazz station. If you'd like us to have all those things, well, you know how to do that. All you have to do is pledge and pledge a lot.
We got a pledge drive coming up next month, and kind of remind folks ahead of time, start saving those pennies away.
But you can't complain that we don't have enough resources because those resources come from you.
Mm-hmm.
You personally.
Yep.
Anyway, that's for next month. Right now, I have another interesting... This was my favorite story of the week, I have to say. Google introduced a new feature to its Docs platform.
Oh.
Now you can talk to type in 40 different languages.
Apple just, all?
Yeah, so far. So
Damn.
Far.
Darn.
Apple just flipped the switch on a feature that'll make typing as easy as speaking. They have added what they're calling voice typing to Google Docs. You just open up a new document, click on the Tools menu, and select voice typing. Then you just click on the microphone icon that appears, and it's ready to type what you say. I've been playing with it for a couple of days. I demonstrated it at Thursday night's Rochester Google's meeting. It's kind of amazing. It's not 100% accurate, of course, and as with any dictation system, it works better with a headset-mounted microphone or even your phone's earplugs than with the ear. What do you call those? Earplugs. Not earplugs.
Earbuds?
Earbuds. The ones with the little microphone in the cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then with the battery in your lap.
And you may already have one of those with your cell phone.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Use your phone's earbuds then with the microphone in your laptop. But it's really very good. Even when I spoke very quickly, and I can speak very quickly indeed, you may have noticed, it kept pace. Only when I got mumbly or fumbled a word did it really have trouble. It only works when you're online, of course, because it has to send the sound wave to Google for their massive arrays of servers to do the translation. But it still kept up pretty well. Of course, I'm on green light, but even at the slow connection at the meeting, it kept up just fine. Google said its voice typing feature supports more than 40 different languages, including, I'm delighted to say, English. But there are only 8 or 9 languages where punctuation works. So, really, this is kind of a throwback to the 1940s, where you can say, Miss Wiggins, take a letter. Dear Mr. Smith, new paragraph. Thank you for yours in Ray the 15th, period.
Mrs. Wiggins. Mrs. Wiggins.
Yep. The company made a few other improvements to its platform as well. Google Docs Android app has a new research feature. In fact, so does the web-based one. So you can pull in facts, images, quotes, and more from Google Search. It always had research, but now the images and quotes are added. Sheets features new visualization tools for all your data, which are pretty dang slick. And the company has added some new pre-designed templates for doc sheets and slides, which are sorely overdue. And, of course, it's all free. Would you rather prefer to talk than type? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
That's what all the science fiction shows always show, you speaking to the computer. But
right. Adama with his thing back in the original Battlestar Galactica, but that one actually put in all the commas and stuff and new paragraphs for him.
Yep. The problem becomes when you're in a cubicle farm or even offices next door.
Right.
It's got to be and that's why one of the reasons it works best with a headset microphone, because then it can ignore the extraneous sounds.
Right. Right. The big thing is it really does. I mean, I could have dictated that entire thing into Google Docs at the speed that I was talking, and it would catch it. I am astounded at how well it works. Now, this, of course, is what Google has been working toward for years. Back when they first started Google Voice, where it would save voicemail and then transcribe it for you, one of the things they asked people to do was at words that it didn't understand or got wrong for you to correct them. And then it used all that with millions of voices to do its speech recognition.
Yep.
And it's got a huge database of speech recognition now that nobody else has. And so it doesn't handle some things well. There was a review from a guy who just ripped it apart because it didn't understand him well at all. And it turns out, if you know this guy, because I've seen him on events and things, he's got a very thick Irish accent.
I wonder if it's the same guy that complained about Siri.
Probably.
When it first came out. Everyone's raving on how great it works, and this one guy puts out this scathing review.
But he's mumble-mouthed.
No one else can understand him either.
I don't understand him.
Yeah.
He's mumble-mouthed, and he's got this very thick accent, and he hardly moves his lips when he talks, so everything's kind of like this, and maybe you can understand him because your brain, it does that, but Siri isn't going to understand it. Google Now isn't going to understand it. Google Docs isn't going to understand it. But you know, it's a horrible product because it doesn't understand him, and he makes it's not perfect. You have to make that effort. You have to say things like comma, new paragraph, exclamation point, question mark.
It's
not a mind reader yet.
give it time.
When they give you the chip to implant in your head, then we'll be there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So right now, if you have a Google, login and a Gmail account, you also have a Google Drive account, so you can go to Google Drive, open up a Google Doc, go to Tools, Voice Typing, the little microphone will appear, click on it, and now you can talk and type simultaneously. In fact, if I had a cable, well, the one thing it doesn't do is if you go off that tab, it turns it off.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I would like to do is bring in another laptop. And if I had the right cable, which I don't have, hook it into the board here and see if I can actually transcribe the entire show.
Whoa. That'd be cool.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
If anybody out there has the equipment to do that, I'd like to see what happens when you try.
Yeah.
There is a special version of Dragon that's designed to record transcriptions like that. The biggest issue is the buffer. And how big the transcription buffer is, because we've got dictation on the Macintosh built into the OS, and it's good for short paragraphs like email.
Right.
But you got to stop every paragraph or two to let it catch up to you. Empty the buffer. It shows you the words as you're speaking them, but we've just found that if you try to dictate too much in a row, it just overwhelms it.
Yeah, this didn't get overwhelmed. I dictated a page.
Yeah.
At the meeting, and like I said, on the slow. I mean, at home, it kept up with no trouble.
Mm-hmm.
At home, it was behind me, but it didn't lose anything.
Mm.
And like I said, when I mumble-mouthed something or I fumbled a word or whatever, then, of course, it didn't catch any of that. But, you know, I tried just saying random things like rhododendron, onomatopoeia. Caught all of that stuff, and it
knew it.
Correctly, even spelled it correctly, which is better than I can do.
There you go.
So, yeah, it was really pretty nifty. I'm actually highly impressed by it, and I admit it's a toy for many people, but for others, for people who are physically impaired,
it's a godsend.
It's a godsend. And yes, you're right, Steve. You have to, you know, in a cubicle farm, probably not a good idea. Sitting in your living room with the kids screaming and yelling and playing, probably not a good idea. But that's true of any dictation system.
Yeah.
Including Siri and everything else. You're hard pressed to be heard in a lot of those places. So
that's only natural. Sorry.
Right, and that's just the way
you're
it
being
is,
totally, you know, you ludicrous can't. If you think it would be otherwise.
Right. One thing even Google can't do is overcome physics.
Exactly.
So sound is sound, and it does what it does. But it was really very good, and of course the wiseacres at the meeting who were trying to scream something, didn't work because I was on the headset thing. That worked out pretty nicely, and I'm kind of amazed at how well it works. The other thing is that research business. One thing you can do is there's a research under tools research. You can do a Google web search for anything, pictures, books, quotes, name it, and it will bring it up. And one of the choices is Cite, C-I-T-E. And if you click that, it puts the picture or the quote or whatever right in your document and then cites it. And you have a choice of APA, Chicago, and M, whatever the M one is. And so you can actually have it by itself create your term paper or whatever it is you want to do. And students are having a great time with that, actually. That's actually pretty cool. That's pretty nice, and it's not entirely perfect. And the other thing I found out is there's another Google site whose name I can't think of right at the moment. But one of the things it'll do is cite law case law. So that's pretty nice. Oh, you're doing it with Siri though. Yeah, now it's sort of catching up, but not entirely. But what happened to the stuff I just typed?
It looks like it deleted it.
It looks like it deleted it. Backspace. Looks like you deleted a backspace. Yeah, well, at any rate, that's try it with Google Now, with the Google Docs.
I don't trust the Google plugin. It crashes my browser all the time.
Oh, okay. All right, forget it then. But the web version.
You have to trust the Google Voice plugin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So this is actually pretty nifty. And also, admittedly, I was using it on a Chromebook, so a 4-gig Chromebook. So there was plenty of space in there, but I was very impressed by it. It was very nifty. It doesn't do anything. Drag and dictate doesn't do nuance. Still, you know, is the king of all of that, blah, blah, blah. But this is free. And to be able to do this well.
Yeah.
And free. You know, it's Google. They want data. They want information. They don't care about
it. They're hungry for it, and they'll do whatever it does to keep the customers happy and keep them coming to Google.
Yep. So I was just really impressed by that. It was very cool.
And that's a lot of times what dictation is. It makes a really good demo.
Yeah.
But then when you try to actually use it yourself all the time, there's...
Well, actually, I use it almost constantly.
Yeah.
Whenever I am sending a text to somebody, I'm almost always dictating it, because that works in that as well.
The spell checkers and context checkers have gotten better, too.
Yep.
Well, even texting, you know, I do a lot of speech on that, because it can type it faster than I can actually do it on the...
Yep.
Right. Right. So when
I do a lot of that.
Yep. And I do a lot of texting, and I've got swipe so I can just slide my hand over the keyboard. But the screen has to be just a little bit greasy to do that, and I tend to keep the screen fairly clean.
That's where I find just hit
so it gets
the little recorder button. And I sit there and, like you say, do the punctuation, and it can do it a lot faster than I can sit there with my fingers and trying to do it.
Yep.
And I've gotten lazy. Yep. I'll admit it. And it does a great job of spell checking and going on and on.
Yep. I use it for texting. I use it for Google Keep. Now I can use it for writing documents. It's just all very cool, and I'm really impressed. And like I said, if you've been using Dragon Dictate or any other of the Nuance projects, the original Kurzweil products, those are all, you know, certainly a better deal in terms. Those have been great for decades, so you're not impressed by this, but this is free. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 966-529-9, 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Oh, I was going to jump in there just for a second. Like we were talking about off-air, though, if folks haven't noticed, you know, with the gas prices and the holiday, you know, traveling, everybody, the prices have dropped so much. But the key thing, you know, is this Hess station going away. I know I've got a couple cousins, and they've collected the Hess cars for years. So, folks, you ever wanted something, you know, you sit there and say, yeah, I can remember having one of those. I should have saved it. You know, whether it was one of the lunch pails or anything else, right now is your chance. And if you have any of the Hess cars or trucks or any of those, stash them away because Hess is now gone.
It's only gone in Rochester. The Hess toy trucks are continuing.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had heard that they...
Yeah, it's HessToyTruck.com. They just gave me a message when the new one's coming out.
Mm, but still, no. I mean, they're...
So it's only in Rochester.
November. Right now.
Investment advice given by Dave Enright is not sanctioned by this station or any right-thinking human being.
Because like anything else, you know, they start it in one area, and then it slowly...
Right. Likely happened is whoever owns the Hess franchise... found a better deal and this other petroleum company
bought them up, and they're starting here in the Northeast, and I can almost guarantee you it's going to spread.
Well, it could be local. I mean, because there are a lot of local franchisers.
True.
Who own, you know, 30, 40, 50.
Yeah, like the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. So who knows?
The
toy truck thing is still there. And
But I can remember my uncle, though, when they first started coming out, because his first part-time job, my Uncle Tom, was at Hess, and he came home with this truck. My aunt's going, what are you buying these toys for? He goes, they're cool, and there could be a collector's item. And every year after that, and that was back in the 60s.
Yep.
Early 60s. And he got it every year. It became a thing, you know, the kids would fight over who's going to buy him the Hess truck for Christmas. Yep. And he had them all.
They're probably not all in good shape, though.
Yeah, his are.
Oh, well, we always ended up... many times ending up with two, because Grandma would buy one for Matthew and we'd buy one for Matthew.
Oh yeah.
So we keep one in the box and one to play with. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And they're.
It's been going on 50 years. So if you have one of each, that's a heck of mm-hmm. a collection.
That's a heck of a collection.
Heck of a
hard
collection.
To say that. Heck of a collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have a couple of the original. McDonald's Beanie Babies still in their bag, but I suspect they're worth exactly zero.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's one of the problems with the internet. A lot of collectibles were collectible because you couldn't find the other ones. Now you go on eBay and you find it in another state, and a lot of the collectibles market.
Collectibles?
The market has died.
Right. Collectibles.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, guys.
Whatever it is, we'll take it.
Whatever. Say, the last couple of days when I've signed on my iPhone to my browser, I've been getting a pop-up that says, congratulations from Apple. Your phone has been chosen to assist us with making a better Windows or better iPhone 7 product. And then it says, if you agree to let us do that, click here. Well, obviously, I didn't click there.
Yeah,
I don't. I'm suspicious of it right away. And the other thing is, it's annoying. It locked up my browser. There's no way to get out of that.
Yeah.
And all I can do is shut the browser down, but every time I bring the browser up, it's back there again. Now, I just noticed a couple minutes ago that it's gone.
Well, so, yeah, we've been seeing this a lot. There's an upsurge in fake ads that are infecting legitimate websites. So, unfortunately, it's not that you went to a bad website. You could go to a good website that has a bad ad on it. And a lot of the ads are targeting, they know you're on an iPhone, so they'll put up that type of ad. And they're tricking a lot of people. In fact, we had a customer last week that got tricked for the second time. And
is there a way to get rid of that pop-up so that it doesn't lock up the whole?
Sort of. The problem is Safari is trying to be nice to you and bring up the last page you were on. In this case, it's a bad page. So what you need to do is go into your settings, under Safari, clear website history.
Okay.
And then it will forget that page, and it will take you back to your home page.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
And have a good one.
You can get the same kind of ads on pretty much on any computer. Fake ads from legitimate websites that claim you're infected with the virus, and you better call this phone number and... $300 tends to be the typical charge. They want remote access to your computer so they can fix the problem that doesn't exist in the first place. One of our customers, they even went so far as to make a fake contract, well, a real contract, and sign his name with a script font and claim that he agreed to pay for this because he's disputing the charge with his credit card company. And so they, you know, the other end submitted this contract. No, look, he signed. He owes us $300.
Nice.
And it's horrible that the bad guys are doing this. But the biggest problem is we think they might have been former good guys because they know the talk, they know the lingo, they know how to scare you into thinking you're really infected. And it's very hard to ignore this big message that pops up on your screen and says you're infected. You're probably not. It's a fake ad.
Right.
So I want to find the first bad guy that realized he could buy ads too and smack him. Because the good guys buy ads on websites all the time. No, the bad guy decided he could do it. Yeah. And the website owner usually finds, especially the big sites, you know, the Facebook, Walmart, Amazon, they'll find the ads usually, you know, quickly within an hour or so. But in that hour, you know, a million people might have gone to Facebook. Or what was that statistic last week? For an hour one day, there were a billion people connected to Facebook simultaneously?
Yeah.
That's a heck of a server.
That's a heck of a set of servers.
Yeah.
One of the other things that was amazing, and again, due to computers, the Paul McCartney concert that was is in Buffalo sold out in 3 minutes. And from what I understand, it was all due to computers buying up hundreds of tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
That it bought them up in less than... Well, in 3 minutes.
Yep.
Because one friend of mine was trying to get some tickets and could get in. Finally, after 6 minutes, gone.
Yep.
And it's like, really? A whole stadium sold out in 3 minutes. I mean, talk about
tens of thousands of tickets.
Yeah. Talk about technology and processing.
And people bought them in blocks and then sold them, a lot of scalpers at that concert.
Yeah. Well, this is coming up.
It's probably mostly scalpers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There'll be a lot of scalpers at that concert, I guarantee it.
And I hope they eat them. You know, a lot of folks, that's bull. I mean, something's got to be done to stop that. You know, I mean, I can see if, you know, a group of folks are going to do it. But for some of these scammers, and it's legit. Yeah, they can do it.
Scalping is illegal in most states, but it doesn't stop it from happening.
It doesn't stop anybody from doing it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's legit. You know, hey, my girlfriend dumped me and I got an extra ticket or, you know.
Or an illness or whatever I've had, you know, folks, or something came up, life matter or whatever. And, you know, see folks out there, I got a pair of tickets. A pair. Now, I got tickets. And you sit there, where do you want to sit? You know, and I mean, they can go all over the stadium or wherever. And you can tell they're just scalpers. And
Brian Brushwood, who's a comedian an interesting guy, he's got a website called Scam School.
Yeah.
And he had a TV show on Discovery Network for a while about how to hack life. And he did one about scalping tickets. And he got two scalpers to fight over him and start lowering their prices to go to the concert he was going to go to.
Nice.
Because you're talking with one scalper, and you know he gives you his price, and then you walk away, and then another scalper finds you.
Mm-hmm.
The first guy doesn't want to lose his business, so like they was so funny that the two scalpers were lowering their prices to
if
get.
If you get them doing it fast enough, they might go under the.
Under the retail,
legit
cost. Because before the concert starts, they're worth money. After the concert, you know,
forget it.
Yeah, you know, it's nothing. The closer you are to the concert, the better your deal is.
Yep. Before I forget, Steve, I probably shouldn't mention his last name, Steve. We had Dennis from Rochester last week call, talk about putting Windows 10 in his machine and how to wipe it. Steve said that, and I haven't done this because I didn't know, I never just wiped my machine. He wanted a clean install of Windows 10. And what he said was, what you do is you upgrade to Windows 10 in place. That registers the computer with Google, with Microsoft. Then you can wipe it out and reinstall Windows 10 from the disk, because you can download a disk of it, and then it's still registered with Microsoft, so it's legit. But so you have to do the upgrade. What?
You have to upgrade then install.
Right. So you have to do the upgrade to register your machine with Microsoft. Then you can wipe it and do a clean install. So I didn't want to forget that. I didn't want to forget to mention that. I'm Steve. Thank you, Steve. Good piece of information. I've never scalped. I've never bought scalp tickets, but I've seen them all the time.
Oh, yeah. I have too. Yeah. I see them constantly here and there, you know. Hey, you need tickets? No.
The other scam, of course, is they're selling you tickets that don't exist.
Or the last night's show.
Or the last night's show.
That's a big lottery scam, too. You get last night's winning numbers, and you buy a ticket today with those numbers on it. And then you go up to someone and say, oh, I'm an illegal alien, or I don't want to report the taxes. You know, give me $5,000 now, and I'll give you the ticket for $5 million. And people get tricked by it. Because it's got the winning numbers on it.
W.C. Fields was right. You can't cheat an honest man.
And there's one born every minute.
There is one born every minute, and his mother must be very sore.
I remember seeing on the original Dragnet show from the 60s that someone pulled this scam, and it still happens today. In fact, Brian Brushwood did a very similar one on his show. He put a box outside the bank saying night deposit broken.
Yep.
Nowadays, it's ATM broken. Put deposits here. And people do. And with Brian, he rented a security guard costume, so he looked more officious. But just an empty box, you know, and people put their deposits in it. And, you know, 40 years ago, this was a common scam.
Scams don't change. Yeah. The way they are done changes, but the actual scam, human nature is human nature. And, you know, and that's one of the things we see on the internet all the time. You know, that's one of the reasons that it's so lucrative to do that on the internet now, because while we might be a little suspicious walking down a street, we're in our own homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're sitting in our favorite chair, our favorite TV shows playing in the background. We're on our own computer, and this thing pops up.
And what people don't understand, though, it doesn't take a well-crafted shyster, is the best way to put it, to put together a site that looks as official as the original. The only difference being is you got to check that URL. It's not the actual, say, bank or whatever. They can do watermarks and everything else. The technology is out there that they could copy a website in a heartbeat.
Well, yes. And what happened to Ed? I mean, how many times now do we see... after you do this, would you mind taking a short survey?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're accustomed now to seeing that. And so when somebody says, hey, you've been chosen to get a new iPhone, take a short survey.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Why not?
We're programmed to obey signs.
What can it hurt to do that?
Right.
You know, is their thinking.
Yeah. Right. And by the time you get in
deep
enough,
won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I got you used to get those calls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, you've won a trip for two. We just need some information.
Yeah,
I had one of them call me once, and I said, this is great. And I started to cry on the phone, and the guy says, are you all right? He says, I never win anything. And, you know, I'm not allowed to have a credit card, and I don't have any money. And the fact that you've given me this free trip is just, the kid goes, what?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, they won't let me have a credit card, and you know, I have no money, blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, I think I've got the wrong number. He hung up.
Good one.
They usually don't let me do that in prison.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Oh.
Can I save the trip because I don't get out for 2 years?
Yeah. Can you wait? I don't get out until the next 3 months.
Yeah.
What are you in for?
Murder.
And you got to feel
robbery. Yeah. I'm in for robbery. I've served a 9-year term.
Yeah.
Be great to get away. I could use the time off.
I killed a guy who tried to scam me. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not
afraid to go back to prison.
That's right.
Or not now. Now you have the idiot criminals that post themselves on Facebook, you know, holding up all the money they just stole.
I know. It suddenly becomes not really a challenge. Well, that music tells me you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. But you'll get a chance to do it again at the other side of this break. It's real easy to join in the fun. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Be nice to the guy who answers the phone. It's Dave, and he doesn't multitask well. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. You're on camera, buddy boy. Nick Francesco and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. It's the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
26 years.
26 years and 2 days.
Oh, and 2 days.
We're 2 days into our 27th year on the air.
Well, we start 26, right? Or we completed?
No, we completed 26.
We completed 26.
We completed?
Yes. Yes, we completed 26 years.
Oh, darn. I thought we had...
No, we completed 26 years. This is the start of our 27th year.
Okay.
You should look at the website now and then.
Yeah. If we've been on the air for 26 years and 2 days.
I thought we were starting our 26.
No, if we've been on the air for 26
years. CRS, dude.
I get it. It's craft. I get it. But this is a different thing. If we've been on the air for 26 years, we've completed 26 years.
Yes.
So we're 2 days into our 27th year.
Dang.
And at the end of that time, on September 3rd.
So you're older than you thought.
Shut
exactly.
up. Shut the front door.
And as you know, speaking of which, we all have birthdays coming up.
Yes.
This is our month.
Yep. The show and all three of us.
Well, exactly. It's Soundbite's birthday month.
As a matter of fact, today, my cousin, it's her birthday. Of course, she lives with me. And Robin knows, my cousin does not talk low.
Yeah.
You can hear her throughout the house. But everybody was calling and wishing her a happy birthday. And I'm upstairs, she's downstairs, and I could hear the conversation going on. Yeah. She's just so excited. You know,
sure.
And like you say, it's you, me, Steve, my sister. I mean, I just know a lot of folks in September. It's just like, whoa.
Somebody had fun at Christmas and New Year, I'll tell you that.
Well,
it's a very cold winter that year.
I still want to know about my mother. Only because
I don't know anything about your mother.
Well, no, only because I've got a sister that's a year younger than me to the day.
Wow.
Yes, my sister Deb and I are a year apart. And as a matter of fact, I believe time-wise, when she had me at, say, it was like at 2:40 at night.
Yeah.
My sister was only like 10 minutes difference. And I forget which way that
wow.
she had. But both of us, a year apart. And my brother posted this one picture, because it's a very old picture, and it's me sitting on the couch with my baby sister. And he put this little bubble up above it and goes, really, Ma, where's my birthday present?
Yeah.
Because my sister's next to me.
Yep, yep. All right, back to the phones. Our caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Hiya, Ed. What's going on?
You didn't mean Dave, did you?
I did mean Dave. What did I say?
You said Ed.
No, Ed was the last call from Canandaigua. You're yeah. Dave. Get it straight, Dave.
Hey, I'm over 60 also.
Wait a minute. I did give you the right name.
You gave me the right name. You
all
did.
Right, thank you.
I didn't say you're the only one who has craft. So go ahead.
Well, I had a lightning strike a couple weeks ago. Uh-oh. Yeah. I'll skip most of that sad story. I lost a lot of stuff. Anyway, one of the things that I took apart one of my machines, the motherboard is shot, but I'm pretty sure that the processor is still good. It's a 1366.
Uh-huh.
I would have bought a new motherboard, but there's none around. So I wondered, wasn't there a place around that would you could send them stuff that they would rework it to teach people?
Motherboards. Yeah.
No, just the CPU, I was thinking that...
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I haven't heard from any of those people in forever. I have no idea if they're still in business.
Well, okay.
If you are still in business, any of you out there,
if
you're still taking donations of hardware for educational purposes, give us a shout.
Because it's a nice CPU. It's like a... 3.7 gigahertz or whatever.
Right.
I buy pretty much high end on the hardware scale. So
sure, then you have to buy less often.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the question I have, one of the things, well, I lost my modem, my DSL modem.
Yeah.
And I had another one. I had settled my father's estate, and he had DSL from Frontier also. So I just swapped them out, and things were working fine for about a week, and then. And I could still get on the internet and everything, but I couldn't get email any longer. And I installed Thunderbird on a different machine, and I still couldn't. I mean, I could not get email. Waved a dead chicken over it. You name it.
What? And your email address is at Frontier.
Yep.
What happened when you called them?
Well, we went through a whole bunch of stuff, and he said, "Well, try this and that," which would take a long time, and. So I tried everything I tried, did not work. So the one thing I did, I noticed they did send me a new router. I'm sorry, a new modem.
Yeah.
Because I was in a panic when I got home, you know, and everything was dead. So they sent it, but I left it sitting in the box because I had recovered because of the other modem. Well, I switched out modems to the brand new one and my email started working again.
Okay, that's...
So are they doing MAC filtering on the modem?
Probably. That's what it sounds like.
Well, it took a week to catch up with it.
Maybe. Well, I don't know if it's MAC filtering, but I do know they do PPPoE. So in your modem, you have to log in with your username and password.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right, but I had to do all that originally, so that was already done.
Yeah.
So when you put in your father's modem,
it should have his name and password.
Did it only have his name and password?
Well, it did originally. I went through and changed all that.
Yeah. And it honestly shouldn't matter. If I go to my father-in-law's house, I should get my email anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You're just using that as a gateway.
One of the complications is that Frontier started using Yahoo as their back-end mail server a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have often found is that if you use Yahoo's mail server, you know, imap.yahoo.com or whatever it is, with your Frontier credentials, it works a lot better than using Frontier's POP server. One, because Frontier only supported POP. And two, Yahoo is the back end server, so you're like a step
closer.
You're
getting there faster, right?
Yeah.
Also, just let me take this opportunity to remind everybody that our preference is to not use your internet service provider's email. To get a separate one, whether it's at Yahoo or Microsoft or Apple or Google or wherever it happens to be, because if you ever change your internet service provider, it's a huge hassle.
To change your email and let everyone know, here's my new email address.
Right. However, so many people on my customer list have my existing that that's not going to happen.
That's the problem, yeah.
But you know what, though? Seriously, now is the time to do it. Because you can do forwarding. You can set up responders that say, remember, my new email address is blah, blah, blah. As opposed to when you change, all of that goes away.
Well, right? I think I'll take care of the surge arresters first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, well, that's about it for today. That's my story. You guys don't complain enough about stuff.
Well, thank you.
You know, you're so I think you're so positive, whereas I'm a curmudgeon. I think, like, ever since Windows XP, Windows has been going downhill. They've destroyed the human interface.
Yeah.
And everyone is going along with them.
No, Windows 7 was good. I'll give them that. Windows 7 was rock solid when it came out. Very few updates, which was surprising. I mean, you didn't have Service Pack 1, Service Pack 2, Service Pack 3, you know, all those right away. They just did some enhancements here and there to Windows 7, and I'm impressed with that. That's why so many folks stuck with Windows 7.
As opposed to Windows 10, where we've already had four major updates in the first month.
Yeah. Yeah. And Windows 8 wasn't worth the powder to blow it up with.
Right.
Yeah. I'll give up Windows 7 when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
That's you pretty soon, by the way. Yeah. Because when Microsoft goes to a subscription model, all those other versions are going to stop working, they say. I don't know how they're going to manage that, but that's what they say.
Stop working in what way?
No more updates, no more connections.
The genuine advantage server will say, you know, too bad, buy a new subscription.
That's exactly it.
That's
right
what we're
now,
afraid of.
Every time your system boots up, if you've got a Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows 10, every time it boots up, it will go to Microsoft and say, I'm a Windows 7 server and here's my serial number.
Chromebook is looking more and more.
Chromebooks and Linux boxes.
Chromebook is looking more and more of a thing for me.
Like I've said, try living inside the Chrome browser for a week. If you can, you're a perfect candidate for a Chromebook.
Oh, I use a Chromebook. I use Chrome browser all the time.
No, but I mean, as opposed to going outside it to run Thunderbird or Word or you know.
No, I do everything on Google Mail.
That's exactly right. And so for you, a Chromebook is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, for people who are programmers or whatever, obviously not. But we're not talking about the edge cases.
Mm-mm.
For the majority of people, something like a Chromebook. And we just updated today to, earlier this week, to version 45, which is much less memory intensive and much less...
Yeah. Battery life's better.
Battery life, that was the... I was trying to figure out how to say that. Battery life is much better.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's a little faster, and it's just very neat.
I'm a small one-man business.
Right.
So one of my priorities is to be able to recover immediately from a disaster.
Right.
And that's where actually virtual machines look real interesting, because you can back up the entire virtual file somewhere else, just build a new host, load in VirtualBox, and you're right back where you left off.
Right. That also, by the way, is one of the things I love about a Chromebook. I buy a new Chromebook, I put in my credentials 2 minutes later, well, probably 5 minutes later on everybody else. Everything is back. Everything is back. All the icons exactly as I had them laid out on my bar, everything. And you're right, virtual machines are that way, but you have to remember to do regular backups and then back up those backups somewhere else.
Offsite, right.
Right. And I'm not saying you can't do it or that you won't do it or you don't do it, but what I'm saying is you just have to remember to do it.
Well, my comment there is, generally speaking, people don't do it. They might start out for a while, and then they get lazy, and no big deal. Yeah, if you don't have something that automatically backs your stuff up, you're going to lose it, period. And it's got to be off-site.
Yep, you're exactly right. Get yourself a little Amazon Web Services. That's probably the wrong one. Amazon has containers that you can get for a penny a gigabyte. And you can store an awful lot of stuff for a couple of pennies a month.
Right. The only problem is backing up an entire virtual file is like an enormous, even with DSL.
Well, right. No, I grant you that, but it is still something you have to do.
Yep. Well, that's enough for today. I'll complain again in a few more weeks about something else.
Thanks, Dave. We'll look forward to it.
All right. Take care.
Have fun. But yeah, the reality is that well, a couple of things we touched on here. One is that email thing, and I know a lot of people. It's convenient and it's easy to use your internet service provider's email. But if that provider goes out of business, or more likely these days merges with somebody else and stuff changes, you don't have to worry about that if you've got a Gmail account or whatever account and backup. Backup, backup, backup.
Well, that's one of the things with an Android phone. Most folks are kind of into creating a Gmail account anyways to back everything up and, you know, have your apps and all that stuff and contacts and all that stuff automatically if you go from one phone to the other. No biggie. So they give you another phone. They just have you sign into your Gmail account. Bam. All your apps, all your phone contacts, everything comes right back down.
The other particularly cool thing is Google Takeout, which I like the old name better, the Data Liberation Front. With Google Takeout, you can elect to download. You have to do it by hand right now. I haven't seen if there's an API. There probably is. It's Google. But you can click on, I want all my mail, I want all my documents, I want all my whatever. And it come down to use a big zip file, which you can then save wherever you want to save it. What a great idea to have your data. I mean, Google obviously is storing it in 8 or 9 different places. But just to be safe, make your own copy. Set it aside, do that every day, every month, whatever it is, and you win. Do we have time to take a phone call? Probably not. No. All right, so Joanne, hold on the line. We will get to you after the next break, which is coming up in just a moment or two. But yeah, so if you've got a an email address and an internet service provider, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it makes it harder when you have to change. If you change now, like I said to Dave, you can set an autoresponder that says, remember my new email address is something different or whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
And because you have both of them working, you can get stuff at the old address, get stuff at the new address.
Yeah, most people wait till they've already moved and that provider isn't available in the new city. And
right.
Then so then you have to keep paying for the old one for a while.
To keep them going. Yeah,
that's right. And now is the time to do it. You get a free one at Gmail or at Yahoo or at, you know, wherever, and then you don't have to worry about it. You know, it's done, and that's a pretty nice thing. So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and you can, Joanne, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after the break. But you can give us a call at 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and this is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we have the very patient Joanne on the line from Greece, New York. Hiya, Joanne. What's up?
Hi. Does Chrome have a desktop version?
Yes. Well, the Chrome browser is available on the desktop.
Okay.
There's no... Well, there
Look
is...
the Chrome box.
There's a Chrome box. You can buy a Chrome box and attach it to any monitor and keyboard and mouse.
Okay.
So that's available.
Yeah, Chromebook is the laptop version, and then Chrome box is the desktop version.
Okay.
But most laptops generally outsell desktops 3-to-1 these days because it's so convenient to be able to carry it around. And you can plug your laptop into a big screen, even your television as a screen, if you do want a bigger screen.
Right. Okay. Asus makes one. If you just type Chrome box, you can buy the.
Looks like Dell has one too.
Dell has one,
but there aren't as many Chrome boxes as there are Chrome books because laptops are more popular.
Yeah, but they come with gigabit Ethernet ports and two USB 3.0 ports, HDMI out, Display Port out, microphone headphone jack thing, a couple more USB power ports, 2-in-1 card reader. So, they're a full-fledged piece of hardware. You know, it's not, you're not giving up a lot to do it.
But it's in a hockey puck size-ish little tiny box.
Right, and it works just like it runs Chrome OS, so it boots up in a couple of seconds. It does wireless immediately with no trouble, as well as wired Ethernet. Plug it into any monitor. You could plug it into your, you know, it does up to 4K. The one from Asus does up to 4K playback, so you could plug it into a TV you don't even own yet. So yeah, there's Chrome boxes that are available that are very, very useful. And in fact, I know a friend who has one. It's his desktop now.
So that eliminates Windows 10 completely?
Gone.
Okay.
Gone.
If you're adventurous, you can install the Chromium OS on your existing PC.
Yeah, maybe you can.
If you're really, really adventurous.
Yeah, right now.
No, I have to have exact instructions and push the button. So if I went that way, right now I've got Frontier Secure.
Right.
Is that...
You keep that.
Okay.
The only thing you change is the box on your desk.
Okay.
So let's say you now have a desktop running, say, Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already got a monitor, and you've already got a mouse, and you've already got a keyboard.
Yep.
If the mouse and keyboard are USB, they'll just plug right into the Asus box.
Okay.
If the monitor is VGA, you may have to change that.
Or
get an adapter. But if you've got an HDMI or a DisplayPort, monitor, then, and that'll tell you in your documentation what that is.
Okay.
And that'll just plug right in as well. And so then you just have this little gizmo on your desk, hit the button, 6 or 8 seconds later, you're in the Chrome OS. And like I said to Dave earlier, if you can spend a week just living in your browser without running anything other than the Chrome browser, then you're a perfect candidate for a Chrome box.
Okay.
Or Chromebook, your choice.
Okay. It sounds good.
It does sound good.
Yeah, and then all my stuff will be right on.
Well, now, because you've been, it will be from then on, right? Right now, you've got a bunch of stuff on your desktop.
Yeah.
If you want to keep your documents and your spreadsheets and those things before you buy the Chrome box, get yourself a Gmail account.
Which is free.
Which is free.
Yeah, I do have that.
And so you also have access to Google Drive.
Uh-huh.
What you can do is upload all of your documents to Google Drive. And you can make folders and put things in folders just the way you do now and organize it however you want.
Uh-huh.
But one thing to remember is before you do that, go into the settings. Because one of the things you can do is tell it to automatically convert before you when you upload or download, which means if you have documents in, let's say, Word or Excel or PowerPoint, they will be automatically converted to Google's format instead. And the reason that's good is because using Google's format, at least for now, does not count against your storage.
Okay.
So I've got 15,000 documents up there, and they have no effect on the storage that I'm using. So it's very fast. It's very easy. And from then on, anything you want to write, you can write it right there. And there's a drop down from the file menu to say email it as an attachment or download it immediately or save it as a PDF or whatever things you can do now, you can do then.
Okay. So I have a huge family tree program with lots of people in it.
Well, now you see when it comes to that kind of stuff, now you need to make contact with whoever makes your family tree software and find if they have an online version.
Oh, I believe they do. Okay, I'll do that.
But that's my point when I say if you can live in your Chrome box for a week without running any Windows programs. Right now, whether you're using Ancestry.com or whatever, many of them have a Windows program that you run.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be able to run that program. You'd have to do it from the web.
Okay.
So what you need to do is make contact with all those places that have programs that you now run outside your browser.
Okay.
And make sure that they have online versions before you go buying any sort of Chromebox.
That sounds good.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joanne. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you decide.
And one of the neat things is the Google Drive option has a desktop component for Mac and Windows. So it just shows up as a folder on your desktop called Google Drive. And you can just drag the files you want into there. And then it sends them all up to Google Drive for you. And I don't think it does the conversion.
I was just about to say, if it doesn't do the conversion, that means you're using
then would,
space.
It would
that
count.
You don't
but you
need.
Get 15 gigabytes of free space on Google Drive, and that's a whole lot of documents.
That is a whole lot of documents. I got to say, we don't really understand how much that is until we actually start using it.
And you can put your pictures up in Google Photos.
And as long as they're within a certain size, that's free.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of stuff you can do. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Hiya, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. I wanted to mention real quickly John Ritter. I miss him, too. I can't believe it's been since 2003.
No kidding.
And, yeah. And last week, Steve made a comment about the bookmarks in Firefox and the order they're placed in. I had to make sure I told him I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're thinking and why they can't put them at the top. That's where they should be.
It was probably easier programming to add to the list instead of rearrange the list.
Yeah, okay. Well, and besides that, I love the browser outside of that. So my question for today is, I'll ask it and then I'll get off the line, is partitioning the hard drive. And I really don't know much about this, and I was wondering if you guys might be able to point me in a direction that might help. And if I'm understanding it correctly, when I think of it as hopefully... I purchased a new computer recently with a really large hard drive, and I was hoping that if I could partition it, it would give me the opportunity to be able to have something akin to two computers, I'm hoping, with a whole separate browsers that I could put on the other end and all that. I just am not sure exactly what it is, but if that is what it is and there's a way that I could do it as sort of a newbie, that'd be awesome. And thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Partitioning is basically breaking the hard drive into multiple logical hard drives.
So the computer thinks it has two or three or four
back
drives.
Back in the old days, you had to, if you had a large hard drive, you were forced to break it up into 20 gig partitions.
Right.
But because nowadays, that's as big as they could.
You could have as big a hard drive as you want. Now, in general, partitioning a hard drive is not something people do a lot anymore.
No, it makes no sense.
Mainly because what people used to think of is if I've got a C and a D and an E, I can back up to E, and if C or D ever dies, I've still got E. Well, that's not true because they're all on the same drive.
Yeah.
Now, as far
and
as...
one partition always fills up before you want it to, and the other one is always empty, and then you got to resize your partitions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A pain in certain anatomical areas.
Right. Now, in terms of multiple machines, you can run... I don't know that you can do it on Windows 10. I haven't tried it yet personally. But under most other Windows, you can set up what's called dual boot. So you can boot one... version of an operating system and then reboot and get another version of an operating system. That does not require you to partition the drive. That magically happens during the setup of that second drive. So you don't have to partition ahead of time. In fact, you probably shouldn't. Now, if what you're talking about is doing that because you want multiple browsers to be available to you, you don't have to do that. Because you can put as many browsers as you want on your computer. And in fact, you can run as many as you want simultaneously until you run out of memory. So if that's the reason for doing it, you don't even have to do it at all. I regularly run both Chrome and Firefox. And every once in a while, I run IceWeasel. And sometimes I run Midori and a couple of others. Because when I create a website, I need to see it in multiple browsers. So, it's real in terms of browsers. In fact, in terms of any program, you can run as many instances of them as you want and as many different versions simultaneously as you want without worrying about a thing. But if you want to have a multi-boot machine...
So Windows 7 on one... boot and Windows 10 on another boot and maybe Unix on a third boot.
Right. Well, Windows 10, we're not sure
yet. We don't know
yet,
yeah.
Because it seems to be very greedy about the partition table.
It's safer.
But Windows 7 and Ubuntu and like that can all be run simultaneously just by creating them. When let's say you've got a Windows 7 machine now, you boot up Windows 10, you boot up Ubuntu's CD, and it'll say, do you want to wipe out the hard drive or make it dual boot? And you say dual boot, and it'll say, okay, here's your hard drive. How do you want to partition it? Let that drive do the partitioning. Don't do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, I want it 50-50, or I want 25 gigs for this or 28 gigs for the other, whatever you want to do. And then it will do the partitioning for you. And then when you reboot, it's like the other, each one will have, how, let's say you gave it each one 50% of the drive and you got a terabyte drive. Each one will think it has a 500 gig drive and it'll never know the other partition is there. And then when you reboot into the other operating system, same thing. I've got a 500 gigabyte drive and that's all this machine can handle. So in terms of actually partitioning the drive to make it a dual boot machine, let the dual boot software do it for you. Just follow the bouncing prompts and you're done. And if what the reason you're doing is so you can run multiple programs simultaneously like a browser, that you don't have to do anything, just run it, it'll be fine. They will not interfere with each other. They will not have a problem with each other. Oh, well, the one problem you'll have is Facebook still seems to have a universal cookie. So it can go find any cookie on anything that you're doing. So
because so many websites have that Facebook button on it, that's probably where it's coming from.
Yep. If you're paranoid about that, that universal cookie is a problem for you. But
stay paranoid.
Stay paranoid. But for everybody else who's living in blissful ignorance, the thing you can run as many, like I said, you can run Chrome and Firefox and Internet Explorer and, whatever you want simultaneously if you have enough RAM, and they won't interfere with each other.
Yep. And it was always horrible in the olden days. When 20 years ago, olden days.
Yeah, now you're old.
Yeah. When, you had that hard drive and there was a 32 meg hard limit on hard drives, so you had to make multiple 32 meg partitions. And then there was a 32 gig limit when they got bigger and bigger. Now it's 16 exabytes is the hard drive maximum size. 16 million terabytes.
Mm-hmm.
And even that's not a lot anymore.
There's a six terabyte drives are out now.
Yep, but we were talking yesterday about places like the Library of Congress that have petabyte drives.
Yep.
And eventually they'll be going to exabytes and yottabytes and zottabytes. And speaking of being old, Steve has a picture of a slipstick up here. Slide rule. And somebody was talking about them the other day, and I said, you want to talk about being old and a nerd? I had a slide rule on a Titec.
Nice.
That worked.
Cool.
If you know what it is, you're a real nerd. If you've used one, you're a really old nerd.
And what do you call a guy who had one on his Titec?
Yeah.
And it worked, and he used it in exams.
Unbelievable.
Back in those days, my eyes were good enough to see it. Now I think the tie is a blur, much less the Titec. I don't think I have that anymore. I really should go look and see if I've still got it sitting somewhere. I do not think I do.
I took a course in the Marine Corps because it was one of the courses was on slide rules. And I took it just for the heck of it. Yeah. And it was fun.
It's how we got through many math. Listen, don't laugh at those things. That's how they sent people to the moon.
Yep.
So, deal with it.
There's the music.
There's the music. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. Oh, and who else? Oh, yeah, you. Give us a call, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be right back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And I have I have more news. This is an interesting one. For those of you who have jailbroken your iPhones, and I know at least a dozen of you personally, hackers have stolen more than 225,000 Apple accounts from iPhone customers. Security company Palo Alto Networks is calling the attack the largest known Apple account theft caused by malware. Palo Alto Networks discovered this, the hack, along with the Chinese tech group Wipe Tech. I don't know. The good news for most iPhone customers is that the malware nicknamed KeyRaider only targets jailbroken iPhones. Jailbreaking allows iPhone owners to access parts of a phone's file system that are otherwise restricted for security reasons. So if you have not broken your if you're not jailbroken your iPhone, and if you don't know how to jailbreak your iPhone, you haven't jailbroken your iPhone, then this does not apply to you. KeyRaider is mostly found in Chinese websites and apps that provide software for jailbroken iPhones, but the malware has spread far beyond China, showing up in 18 countries, including the U.S. Once infected, with the KeyRaider malware, a jailbroken iPhone will give up all of its owner's iTunes App Store information to the hackers, including the Apple account username, password, and the iPhone's unique ID. It also steals all the information about the owner's app store purchases and prevents people from recovering their phones once they've been hijacked. The hackers aren't keeping all of that information for themselves. They have allowed other people to take advantage of the stolen account information. The hackers have uploaded software that lets other people purchase iTunes apps for free using the victim's account. About 20,000 people have downloaded the software that lets them steal from the 225,000 affected iPhone owners. Palo Alto Networks said victims have reported that their Apple account purchase history has displayed apps they never bought. You do look at your account history for both, you know, Google and for iTunes and for Google and for all of them, right? Because right. You should be doing that regularly,
Don't wait till the end of the month when the credit card bill comes.
That's right. Others say their phones have been locked and the hackers are demanding a ransom to return access to the owners. Jailbreaking phones can be a useful way for technology-savvy iPhone owners to customize their devices to their liking and install apps that don't appear in the iTunes App Store, but it also bypasses some important barriers Apple puts in place to prevent these kinds of attacks from happening. Users need to consider carefully if the additional information and functionality is worth the additional risk, said Nico Van Someren, Chief Technology Officer of mobile grid security company Good Technology. So have you jailbroken your phone? And if so, are you worried? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, jailbreaking was always the thing to let you run other programs from outside the Apple Store. But we're hearing more and more that those other programs are filled with spyware. There was a big mess with the Cydia store, which is the most common non-Apple app store. They made a deal with a Chinese company for some app, and so every time you install the Cydia store, you install this other software without knowing it. And that's sort of the whole point of the Google Store and the Apple Store, is that they have some vetting process to make sure the app is doing what it says. Bad apps sneak by every now and then, and they get taken off. But that's the security most people want. If you are geeky enough to want a jailbreak, then you have to be aware of these risks and be even more vigilant about what you're doing with your device.
Yep. It's really become, you know, we joke about how complacent and smug that Apple people get. And they really have no right to.
Yeah, not anymore.
But the same is true for other people. If you've got a Windows phone or you've got a Google phone or, you know, your desktop, whatever,
yep.
You really need to be paying attention to your machine. We've talked about this before. How do you know when you're sick? Well, your body reacts differently. You know how your body is when it's healthy, and when it's not healthy, you think, oh, I shouldn't have that pain, or I should, you know, there's range of movement has changed. Or
it makes a different noise.
It makes a different noise. And your computers are the same way. You know how they work when they're healthy, and that can help you learn what they're like when they're not healthy. But there's also things you can do to purposely break them. Jailbreaking your phone, not really a good idea. Yes, you get to run. Apple is very restrictive in what they will let you run, and many people chafe under that. Well, stop using an Apple phone if that's your problem. If you jailbreak the phone, the chances that you will get some sort of a disease from that, your phone will, are very high. And as we can see, 225,000 people have been trapped by the jailbreakers. And if I were an Apple iPhone user and I were a jailbreaker, I would be very worried right now.
Yeah. And in general, we have seen over the years the threat model has changed. No longer are viruses the big concern. It's the fake ads on websites.
Yep.
That you don't even have to click anything. You just visit that website and it automatically runs and automatically downloads. So the solution is to turn off JavaScript, but that breaks most of the internet.
Right.
And so there are programs like NoScript that will allow you to selectively turn on JavaScript for things that need it. But that's a pain in the ass to configure too. For your first, you know, week or two of running with NoScript, you're always saying, yes, run this script, yes, run this script. But it that can be better than that one script on a malicious ad that infects your machine. In fact, sometimes they don't even infect your machine. They just put up that message saying you're infected. And that's even worse, because then, you know, we've seen a lot of people bring machines in that said they were infected, and you know, we have to assume the worst and scan them anyway, and find out that they weren't infected. It was a fake message, but it's still, we had to do the work because you never know. Some of the fake ads install bad stuff. Some of them are just a fake ad and they're hoping to trick you.
Yep. And you know, we've talked about this before. We don't walk down the street with $20 bills hanging out of our pockets.
Unless you know the shout.
But doing so, we do so all the time on the internet.
Yep.
You just won. Really? Oh, well, let me click that. No! Don't click that. You can't win if you didn't enter. Did you enter? No. Then how did you win?
Well, they
picked me at random.
Yeah.
From what? Everybody on the internet? No. Because that's like 3 billion people.
At least.
You have a better opportunity to win the lottery while being struck by lightning, standing in the middle of the Lincoln Tunnel twice.
Yep.
Than you do of being picked out of 3 billion people to win.
It's amazing. Some folks, you know, they'll sit there. They're so cautious about so many other things. You know, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. But yet they'll get on their computer and get click happy, as I call it.
Yep.
Click. But it's okay. It's safe. No. Not if you're not taking the time to see in what you're doing. You know, like I say, so many folks are going back to my previous conversation, clicking on stuff, and it looks as official as all get out, and you'd swear until the cows came home that it was. But, oh, it's not.
And that also goes back to the, where did this thing come from? Mm-hmm. Well, you installed it. No, yeah. I didn't.
Yeah, when you
installed this other thing, there was a checkbox that says, can we install this too? And you didn't uncheck
Yeah, and
it.
All of a sudden they've got like 6 extra toolbars or whatever underneath their browser. It's taking up all my space. How'd they get there? You allowed them in.
You installed them. Yep.
No, absolutely. I didn't. I just added this program. Yeah, and part of that, as you were clicking along, said, oh, install this toolbar. Oh.
Yeah.
Read every screen.
Never say okay if you haven't read the screen that you're okay.
And if you don't understand the screen, call someone and ask them.
Yes.
Or wait, you know.
Wait till Saturday.
Wait till Saturday and call us, yeah.
But yeah, so we see this all the time. I've gone to friends' houses where the toolbars covered the screen.
Yeah, for one person had to remove, I think it was 11.
Yeah.
Different toolbars.
Yeah, and that's not as unusual as you think.
And they sit there and, you know, oh. And they're confused and they're saying, well, you know, because they got to charge them.
Yeah.
And they sit there, yeah, but it didn't take you that long. Well, then why didn't you do it?
Right.
If you knew how to do it, then...
I hate that. It shouldn't have taken that long.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Right.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, people. And I don't do tech support for a living. I don't charge people to do tech support. I probably should. So I can say this with impunity. There's only two ways to get something done. Learn to do it yourself or pay somebody else to do it. There's no third magical way. So if somebody comes to you and says, oh, I've got a problem with this, we're going to charge you money. Or I will joke with friends that I work for beer. But there are very few people who are that close a friend of mine. Because I don't drink that much beer. Yeah.
Or can I come to your company and get your products for free?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you make? I'll come and get one of those.
It shouldn't take that long. It shouldn't cost that much.
Right.
Yeah. Well, quickly, because we're running out of time now.
Go ahead.
This week is the Apple Cider meeting, September 9th at East High School, 7 o'clock. And we have the wonderful Adam Engst coming in from Take Control eBooks. And he's going to be showing us some tips on El Capitan. And
so don't fail to miss that.
Don't fail to miss that. And September 9th is also the Apple event. And who knows what they're going to announce. So we'll be talking about that, too.
Excellent. All right. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is on the board, so things should go smoothly. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on the truly great and solely member-supported. Were you paying attention? Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.